Let's pray. Father, as we await the resurrection of Jesus Christ to be celebrated on Sunday and his coming again on earth, let us remember diligently the commission that he gave us to make disciples. Amen. So quite a specific prayer, because today's got quite a specific message. Paul and I, together with a few others, went over to Smethwick on Saturday and took part in some training, Christian Life and Witness course run by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, ahead of the event in June that I'm sure you've all heard about, where Franklin Graham will be speaking at the Resorts World. And today I'm going to be focusing on some teaching from that. So it is a little bit different to normal, and I apologize right now, but let me give you some reassurances about that difference, because I don't want you feeling uncomfortable. Firstly, it won't take much longer than usual, maybe a minute or two more. Secondly, it will have our gospel reading in it. In fact, it's going to have three gospel readings, so we're triple blessed. Thirdly, we're going to not focus on one passage, but on one character. One character from the New Testament, Andrew. And finally, it is my hope that this talk will inspire us to make a difference, to take from the church something we've learned and apply it directly in our lives. I don't know if you recall or if you heard the talk I gave on Sunday, where we were thinking about Jesus arriving, and I said, who would you tell? Who would you want to tell? Well, that's the message of today, really. This course, we're hoping, Paul will be talking again on this, but we're hoping also to run this course at our church in the next few weeks. So we'll keep you posted on that. Does that sound okay with everybody? So the only last little difference is towards the end, there's a little bit of work for you guys to do. So hopefully it won't be too taxing. So with that in mind then, our starter question for 10, who is Andrew? Anybody tell me anything about Andrew? Sitting at the back. Okay, that's one Andrew. Who is Andrew in the New Testament? One of the first called disciples. Yep. What else do we know about him? Yeah. He had been John the Baptist's disciple. So Kim's quite knowledgeable on Andrew. The rest of us are sitting there going, Andrew, I know the name. He has got a famous brother. Can anybody guess the name of his famous brother? I'll give you a clue. Yes. He's Peter's brother. So we've just demonstrated, really, he's not really that well known. And one of the reasons he's not that well known is he's only mentioned in the Bible 12 times. So, but he's a very important character, despite not doing or not seeming to do very much. His name, Andrew, literally means man or person. And he wasn't called to write any of our scriptures. He doesn't get mentioned as anything but one of the disciples. And then sometimes he's Simon Peter's brother, as if we need a reason, you know, a way of locating him. Oh, that's Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. I know what that feels like, because my daughter, Joanna, she worked as a barmaid at the Dog for many years, and I'm still known as Ginger Joe's dad when I walk around the street sometimes. A Scottish immigrant and pastor to the Senate in America, Dr. Peter Marshall, he described Andrew as the saint of the rank and file. Now, Andrew's not one of the greatest disciples, but he is typical of those men of broad sympathy and sound common sense, with whom the success of any great movement cannot be assured. As such, Andrew is everywhere. Marshall said, he is the man who sits beside you on the bus, or drives the streetcar, or waits on you in the store, or works at the next desk to you in the office, or sells you a ticket at the station, or even carries your bags. In short, then, Andrew is just like any one of us. Could any one of us could be Andrew? Paul could be Andrew. Andrew could be Andrew. Mary could be Andrew. Even I could be Andrew. Now, I must confess, my first pick for a disciple that seemed to be like me wouldn't have been Andrew. I would probably go for my namesake, Peter. Yes, because he's got a great name, but he's got this very human knack of messing things up, of getting it wrong, of missing the point, and losing his composure. And he constantly needs to be forgiven for what he's done by Jesus. And that's why I feel a lot like Peter, not because of his success and not because of what he goes on to do, but that very human quality there. So often I feel I can say, well, I'm Peter, for his character rather than for his amazing achievements. However, could we all say from time to time, I am Andrew? Just try it now. We'll try it three times. Try saying, I am Andrew. That's once louder. And now like you believe it. Perfect, thank you. So now we've said we can be Andrew, let's hear what's said about Andrew in John's Gospel. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went, and they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought him to Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So did you notice something interesting about Andrew in there, in those last couple of verses? Without Andrew, Peter would not have met Jesus. In the early verses, we can see that Andrew was a man of faith. He met Jesus through the witness of his teacher, John the Baptist, and he wanted to spend time with him. I wonder if some of you came to faith because a friend gave witness to you as to what Jesus did in their life. Now, Andrew was eager to meet with and be with Jesus himself. I expect we could tick that box for ourselves, most of us. But then he immediately went and sought out one he loved, his brother Peter, to tell him. Just as I talked about on Sunday, he was bursting to tell his brother that good news. Now, Andrew is mentioned again in the context of bringing people to Christ later on in John in chapter 12. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Well, Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. So when we read Greeks in this passage, it's probable that the author is saying non-Jew. So a Greek wasn't necessarily a Greek. It was this binary understanding of you're either a Jew or a Gentile. And instead of Gentile, they would sometimes say Greek, because that was the culture all around them. So Andrew is again pivotal in a major witness. A witness that carried on through the Apostle Paul, but started here as Andrew simply takes this unorthodox request, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." And he does something with it. He takes them to Christ. And the result was these non-Jews were again led to Christ. To understand what makes Andrew good at this witness, let's take a listen to our third reading, John chapter 6. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test them, for he had already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." This is a word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, just for context, because we hear this story a lot, feeding of the 5,000, but it's 5,000 men, probably 5,000 women, a few thousand children. So one little lunchbox belonging to one little boy feeds all of Chelmsley Wood. That's the size of the miracle. So when we look at Andrew in this, he knows their need. He knows the gift of the little boy. He knows the little boy. He's noticed in this crowd. And he's bold enough to bring the boy to Jesus. So Andrew, he brought Peter to Jesus. He brought the Greeks to Jesus. He brought the boy to Jesus. And he enabled a powerful witness of Jesus' miraculous endeavors to the crowd. God uses ordinary Andrew with ordinary deeds, nothing spectacular. Ordinary words and ordinary situations to accomplish the absolutely extraordinary. These results that only God can do come about because God chooses to use ordinary Andrew. Isn't that amazing? So I've got a couple of volunteers who are going to give out a pen and a sheet of paper for this next bit. What I want you to do is, first of all, remember that we'd like the pens back. Well, I did just buy them, so... And secondly, on the one side of the paper, please do give them out, guys. On the one side of the paper, there's a little space for you to write a name. And it's to write down the name of somebody that you would like to introduce to Christ, or you would like to see introduced to Christ. So somebody in your life that doesn't know Jesus, and you would like to see them come to see Jesus. Now, what we're going to do with those, so that you don't get too scared again, because I know it's different to write things down. What we're going to do with those, once you've written a name on them, we're just going to hold them up, because the pledge on that piece of paper is, "I pledge to pray for this person to come to Christ." So all you're going to do is take your card away and pray for that person between now and the Billy Graham event, in the hope that the Holy Spirit can work in their life. You could put down 2 names if you want to. Yep. At this stage, I wouldn't write a list. Just 1 or 2 names if you can, though. And when you've done that, I'm going to ask us here today to start that prayer off. So I'm going to say, when we're all written down, hold that card up, and then I'll lead us in a prayer for those people. Okay, so you don't have to tell us who they are. Now, unashamedly, this is to encourage us to do something about this in our lives. This is to encourage us to talk with that person or another person and say, "Listen, have you ever heard of Billy Graham, a famous evangelist? His son is coming to talk near us, and we'd love to invite you on a coach with us to hear him talk. That's it. The gospel will witness. The gospel will do the evangelization. There's a small team that will be there to receive anybody at the event who comes to Christ or who wishes to pledge their life to Christ. So all you need to do is invite. How are we doing, everybody? Need a little bit more time? Got there? Oops. So as you see on the front of it, it says, I am Andrew. That's to remind you. And on the back where it says, I pledge to pray for, just write that name down. Right. Please just hold your cards up. Lord Jesus, we show you the ones we have noticed. Help us to talk to them about you this week and the next. Help us to serve and love them. Help us to invite them to come and see, just as Andrew did. When we hire our bus to the Franklin Graham God Loves You event in June, Lord Jesus, let them be among our number. Amen. Thank you very much for being prepared to be a little bit different today.